interesting that we're going to be looking at Colossians. We'll ask the Lord to help us first. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we bless you and thank you. Your word is the truth, Lord, the truth that sets people free and helps us, Lord, to know you and to serve you and to walk spotless, Lord, as your grace works in our lives in a fallen world. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was looking back on my records, in the sense of recordings and so on. We did Colossians about 4 years ago. Do you anybody remember that? I didn't either. But I really felt, before I found that out, I really did feel drawn to looking at Colossians, because the focus is on Jesus. And it's a good thing to do, isn't it, as a fellowship, to focus on the Lord Jesus. I'm going to give you a bit of an introduction. That's all it is today. The questions we're going to ask are, where was Paul writing to? That's Colossians, the answer, a little bit of information about that. Where did he write it? Why did he write it? Who brought the letter to them? And what did they do with it? So there's some practical things that come out of that for us. So that's what we're going to just have as a little overview of the letter to the Colossians to begin with. So there's a picture of the area where the site for Colossae no longer exists. It's an archaeological site. It's not the city, but it's situated in southwestern Turkey, as today. The unexcavated site of Colossae sits near the modern city of Honaz at the base of Mount Cadmus in modern Turkey. So there you are. There's these mountains behind, and there's a river valley. It runs past the river. That's the point. It's the river Meander, and the name for Meander is wobbles around, and that's what the river does. But it's a bit further downstream, that. So that's a picture of the site itself. But near there, it was a tourist spot in modern Turkey, a place called Pamukkale, the famous white castle, or cotton castle it's called. These rock formations are from the hot springs which dissolve the calcium, and then when they come out, they deposit the calcium salts, and they perform these white looking rock stuff, quite spectacular. So it was in the time of the Romans, a bit of a tourist site, and a health spa, of course, around there as well. And then just one more map for you, and that shows you where we are relative. You see, it's a very mountainous area, but there's that river running down. It runs down that valley there. Ephesus is on the coast. And these three cities are all close together. That picture I showed you of the white rocks is this place called Pamukkale. It was known as Heracles in biblical times. Laodicea is just across the road, and Colossae is slightly further inland there. So that's the area that we're talking about, a very mountainous area, and quite a long distance, 120 miles from Ephesus. So that's a little bit of an important point for us to make a note of. So there, you've got your bearings, have you? We know where we are. So a little bit about the town itself. Its population, because it was a major trade route, that river valley was a major trade route, there was a mixed population. People turned up, you know, they went through and passed by, and some of them stayed. So we've got the natives, the locals, who were called Phrygians, and some of the Greeks that had turned up during the time of Alexander the Great, a century or two before. And then Jews had turned up as well, they were living there, and of course it was a Roman province, the province of Asia as it was called by the Romans, so a right old mix of all sorts of people. And of course they brought with them their own religions and so on. We have a mixture of the local ones, I suppose, which we animism we call it. It's a sort of local superstition, you know, there's gods in everything, the spirits in the trees and everything else. People are frightened to death, and so they have to sort of appease the gods, those sort of, as Paul refers to them, as elemental spirits, basically, that's the idea. And then there was the astrology stuff that had come in. There was plenty of that from the Babylonian background, but it was Eastern influence as well. And then we got the collection of the Greek and Roman gods. If you were short of gods, you'd always go to the Greeks to get some more. And then they had the mystery religions. Now this is the key one in a sense, because it later became what we know as Gnostics. The word Gnostic means to know. Basically, it's the secret societies. We're in the know, you know. All you lot are out there, but we are in the know. The mystics were there. And that became quite a horrible sect and heresy. And then we have the Jews that had turned up, but their their Judaism would be modified by the locality as well. So it was a slightly modified speculation, as we'll see in the letter later on. And of course, there's Christianity there, because Paul's writing a letter to them. So that's the people that are there. And how did Christianity get there? Well, I'll quote a few verses for you from the letter as we go. Paul never came there, so it seems, and Colossae's not that big. At that time it wasn't. It had been more important in the past. But it's not mentioned in Acts. Paul didn't get there as far as we know, although he spent several years in the area at Ephesus. He didn't get to this area. But there was a man called Epaphras who came to Ephesus as a Gentile, and he heard the message and he got saved. And what did he do with it? He went home and told people about the Lord. So a church was established there. And Paul talks about that in chapter 1, verse 7. You learned it from Epaphras, my dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. And Paul makes it clear that he never got there. He says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. So they've not seen him personally, that's the thing. So Christianity came to this place through the work of a guy like Epaphras and others who shared their faith. Wonderful. So why did Paul write the letter? That's the important bit. Well, he wrote it to start with from prison. He was in prison. And he has a chap called Timothy. You've heard of Timothy, his associate, and he acts as a secretary. Most likely he was imprisoned in Rome during his first imprisonment. We're told at the end of Acts, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. That's not a bad prison, is it? Well, it's still restrictive though for Paul, but he used the time there to write the letters from his prison confinement from Rome. And he says this, that he is a prisoner in Colossians at the end. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So he's basically saying, remember my chains. You know, I'm a prisoner for all that is in my own house, of course. And he says, I'm writing this bit at the end, I'm writing this with my own hand, which tells you that the rest of it wasn't written with his own hand. He got somebody else to write it down for him. Paul, we'd say, dictated the letter. Who would be the chap who wrote it for him? Timothy. So Timothy's his associate. That's why it says in the beginning, Paul and Timothy. So, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So there's the greeting from Timothy as well. So that's where he wrote it to. And when did he write it? Well, we can make a good guess of that. It was obviously before he was martyred. That was AD 67, 64 or 7, we're not sure around about the time. And we are assuming at the end of Acts he was released for a period of time and then rearrested and then later martyred. So it's somewhere around about AD 62 that Paul wrote this letter. And it's a letter that's a personal letter in a sense, but it's to the church of a group of people. So why did Paul write it? That's the important question to ask ourselves. It was in response to information that he got from Epaphras. Epaphras had obviously come to visit Paul in Rome, for whatever reason, but he'd come to see Paul in Rome, and Paul had asked him how the church was going, and Epaphras had told him. And there were good things. Paul, in the letter, writes back to say, Epaphras also told us of your love in the Spirit. So he's glad that these Christians are going on with the Lord. That's good. But there's also a concern. Epaphras has mentioned this. Because, you know, whenever God's doing something, you know someone else will want to spoil it. The devil at work. And obviously that was going on there in Colossae as well. The enemy was at work. And what were the problems? We won't go into them in any detail now, but it was false teaching. Basically, false teaching, messing people's heads up, affects the way you live. And so false teaching leads to false behaviour, wrong behaviour. And so, essentially, there were people getting the wrong idea about God and about Jesus. That's the problem. As the enemy was wanting to come. What does the devil do? What's his main tactic? Confusion. So that's what he was doing. And Paul's concerned about that, so he writes the letter to help them. So he says this in chapter 2, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." So he wants to get them focused on who Jesus is, what he is, what he's done, in order to clear up all this wrong stuff that's being taught. So that's why Paul wrote the letter. And who delivered it? Who were the postmen? Well, he tells us, Tychicus and Onesimus. Onesimus was being sent back, the runaway slave, and he lived nearby. So Onesimus has been sent back, and we read here in the end of Colossians, "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here." Right, so Onesimus is one of them, which means he's a local and a Gentile. That's what he's getting at, I think. So they're the postmen who bring the letter. Right. And what did they do with it? Well, it tells us they gathered the church in homes, I assume. They didn't have buildings and such. They gathered the church in the homes and read it aloud, because not everybody's got the letter, so somebody's got to read it to them. And then they passed it on to other churches. And we read this in chapter 4 of Colossians. "After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea." We'll have a think about the letter to the Laodiceans a bit later on, of course. But he says, you've got to have the letter read, first of all, and then pass it on. That's the idea. Pass it on to the other churches. Right? But I've got another suggestion as well. It doesn't say so, but I know it must have happened somewhere along the line. What else did they do with the letter? Remember, this is a letter to them, the church in Colossae, addressed to them. It's personal in that sense, although Paul tells them to pass it on. They must have made a copy, maybe several copies. And the reason they did that was because they were just like us, in a real sense. They were a church in the world, and the apostles were beginning to disappear. The original apostles were dying out. And so they've got the writing of the apostle. So I'm sure they made a copy of it, yeah? And just like us, yeah, we're the church in the world, and we've got the apostles' writings, but we don't have the apostles anymore. But we've got the scriptures. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says this in 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible's there to help us, brothers and sisters. That's what it's about. Alright? So, what did they do with the letter when they got it? They read it. They had it read to them. So, you know what I'm going to do now?
Read it.
I'm not going to read it. He's going to read it for us. Yes?